Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Well, it looks like we have another glorious turnout and number to hear the words of Yahweh. That number is 113,097 listeners. My, and that's a good thing. And we know that we're all waiting to hear the words of Yahweh with the descriptions of things that we have to describe that all walks into the word of Yahweh. You know, this makes me think about sometimes when you hear people in a crowd making noise and you look around in that crowd, everybody you see got their mouth closed, but you still hear somebody in the background hollering, but you don't see nobody's mouth moving. All of a sudden, they move apart. And you see somebody that's a lot shorter than the rest of the people, making all the noise, trying to figure out what's wrong with him. Well, there's a name for that, which everybody should be familiar with. And if not, you can also look it up. And actually, everything that I'm going to say today, you can also look that up. This name that we should be familiar with is called Napoleon Syndrome. Actually, what is Napoleon Syndrome? Let's take a look at that. It's also called Napoleon Complex. It's a syndrome that is a term used to refer to a terrorized condition, which occurs in short-statured people. It's named after the famous Emperor Napoleon, and the domineering or aggressive social behavior are some of the characteristics of that condition for this individual that was noticed. Even worse than that is Napoleon Complex. It is a terrorized inferiority or complex normally attributed to people with a short stature. It is characterized by overly aggressive or domineering social behavior, such as lying about earnings, and carries the implication that such behavior is compensatory for the subject's physical or social shortcomings. And psychologically speaking, the Napoleon complex is regarded as a derogatory social stereotype. This is something that most should know, and especially if you've experienced it. But don't worry. I found out also there are treatments for that. That's right, the treatments for Napoleon complex. Let me look at that. And the congestive behavioral therapy, one is taught to recognize and understand his own thoughts. That's the first treatment. And he's able to control and change them thereafter. A therapist helps one to learn the use of mindfulness to reflect the potential negative thought processes as well as a positive affirmation and replace them with more positive laminations. The other treatment is to have a more yakwa in their life with the correct values, but not the yakwa of this world. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 and 24, verse 23 says, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority do thou doest these things? Who gave thee this authority? 24. And Yahweh the Son answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, and likewise, I will tell you what authority I do these things. So when Yahweh the Son speaks up and tells you the one who sent him and gave him authority, we all that of Yahweh, we know who gave him that authority. That's the Father, Yahweh the Father. So most of us, we learn to give praise to Yahweh and be humble in giving praise, especially on the Sabbath day, the righteous day of Yahweh, not being like Doeg, the Edomite. Doeg the Edomite, as mentioned in Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 through 9, should be taking notes. Which brings me to mention about the word praise. One of the words that we continually mention is YHDH, Yahweh. When you look that up, it means praise, the word within itself. The dictionary explanation for YHDH is an ancient Semitic original pure form of the word praise. The fourth son born unto Jacob, which we know is Israel, the tribe of Yahdah, YHDH, honored the heavens with songs and dances of ecology, ancient Semitic, Latin, or Greek. There was no Greek, Latin, or vowel points in the ancient dialect of the Semitic nations. Well, after we move away from that, we try to get ourselves in the right frame of mind, remembering what the protocol of the Bible is, how the word was given. The word was given from the Father, Yahweh the Father, to Yahweh the Son. And after it left Yahweh the Son, went to the minister spirits, to the seers, to the elders, to be ministered unto you. And frequently we mention this to bring everybody's mind back to the protocol of the Bible. In time, things like this is forgotten. We want to keep that entranceway to righteousness very narrow, as mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 32. 32 says, in the place where the scripture he read was this, he was read like a sheep to slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears. So he opened up not his mouth. So when you're learning about this narrow road, you have to have big ears and little mouth. In 2 Esther chapter 7, verses 7 to 8, it says, the entrance is therefore narrow and set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right hand and deep water on the left. 8, and only one pass between them both, even between the fire and the water, so small, only one man could go there at once. And actually, you can precept that verse, those of us that do precepts, you can precept that to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. Let's see what that says. 13, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into fire, and few there be that find it. Well, myself, I tell you, I'd like to stay on that narrow path and lead myself into righteousness, especially with the word of Yahuwah behind me. This is why I always say a teacher can't learn from his students, although you have students trying to teach the teacher. But he got to have his thing in order. This shows that a good teacher, that he's got a student that wants to be heard in ways that can be a good thing. But now, a student also can learn from a good teacher and possibly doing the same thing themselves one day. And the rest of our six camps, this shows well for all the camps that teach. We came here for one thing. We all came to hear things that most of us can hear, and some listening could never understand. But Yahuwah's ministry make all this misunderstanding possible, because we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we're given the knowledge to know that those out there, they camouflage, use this word and I'll emphasize it, camouflage their evil or confused teachings and overly loud bump the gums contests for righteous learning, and even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons, which we've seen recently. As I said before, Yahuwah hates these things. Six things the Yahuwah hates very much. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Verse 16 says, these six things doeth the Yahuwah hate, yea, even seven are abomination unto him. 17, a proud look and a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. 18, a heart of mind that devilish wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running into mischief. 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that discourses discord among brothers. I can tell you, in the past few days, I think I've seen every one of these verses take place. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of confusion, loud bump the gums, and wrong teachings in Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's word. And as I said many times before, we hear people ask, how can you guys get that much out of this one book? Well, it comes from connecting the books, connecting the words of Yahuwah and the books. About your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because this is information that you came to seek, and now you found out what you have sought, and the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We generally don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. Maybe we should have a class on Tuesday to try to teach those who need it. But who knows what's in the future. But we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of Sabbath is Friday from 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m. We have an online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After click enter, just under Big Lion, you will see some choices. One would be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Doing this, I always remind everyone what it tells us to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah alive. Also for building the school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program, Haru Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar we have for you. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. The calendar is explained in biblical detail by scripture what the feast days are, when they begin, and when they end. We also have a live program, which is only available during live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live, and after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Click the red live button as soon as it appears, and it'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses. The first is Tribe, that's T-R-I-B-E, YACH at gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answer, or related topics. The other is YHDH, YSR, AEL at gmail.com. This is also used for biblical subjects or related topics. Also, we have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first will be our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other number is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words once again, Yahuwah Radio Live. After click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Choose the program that you were late logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, one good note. During the normal Broad Talk broadcast, Yahuwah's story will also continue on Pell Talk. We'll be listed under Ethnic Group, African-American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. And online there to answer any on-the-table topics about what we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, Riding Shotgun. We'll be taking no comments off topics or any more than two text questions answered at a time. You'll find that if these righteous acts are not done, the elder will block or restrict the misuse. And if Broad Talk also ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pell Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But as you know, today is another day for the Word of Yahuwah. And nothing has changed except the number of people that come for Yahuwah's word and those that commend it and add unto it. And that's a good thing. But we find it's only following by those taking the same words we listen to, casting them behind their back. Want to hear their favorite verses in the Bible and actually taking their meanings totally another way. We can't forget the noisemakers, the complainers, wanting to be a deceptive listener, the page flippers to look like they're paying attention, but when you call them to speak, they're completely lost. They're clearly forgotten. We're only one man or one woman. And seriously, time is not in our favor, but the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what one man or one woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life, and that's if at all possible. Anyone that ever says they've done more, just lied. Now they're doing the work of another, and that's impossible. So to find out what our continued possibilities will be in the word of Yahuwah, let's keep our Bibles open. If you can't see them, turn on some more light so the words can become more alive to you. I'll pass our program back to our seer Israel, open up my Bible myself, and start getting busy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Yo, that's excellent again. Turn on some more light, huh? Wipe that down, turn on some more light. So I guess we'll take a look at that. Turn on some more light. So that's what it's got to be. Turn on some more light. That's pretty good, Dale. One thing about it, the old seer, he's a great note taker, and that's what he do. Even on comments, I might be talking to a brother sister on the phone. Don't think I don't have a Bible next to me and a pen. Because something you might say a lot of words, but something you might say in there and I write it down and let you keep on talking. And that's the way it is. Once you take notes on something, we know that's the game changer on Yahuwah kicking in if you're a great note taker. Gotta be a great note taker, no doubt about it. All right, good enough. That's excellent on Brother Mr. Kills. So now we're going to look for Brother Yahuwah Israel and we'll get something going on. That's what we do. We'll get something going on. And one thing we do know, we are everywhere we see, all over the known world. And that's a good thing. And a lot of complaints, a lot of good stuff, too. But one thing about it, they hear to hear. That's one thing about it. They want to hear it. Sometimes they say you got to eat this robe. You know, eat this robe, you know, but you got to eat all of it. That's the point. You want to hear it, but you got to eat all of it. Brother Yahuwah Israel.
Yahuwah bless you, see Israel. I'll see you, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, that brother Yahuwah Israel. Well, you know, he's about eating his roll. You know, we got to eat this roll. And this what this let us know what you're made of when it's time for the eating of the roll. Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12. Let's get something going on there, Brother Yahuwah Israel.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. Well, the spirit will check you too. It'll let you know when you're going too far for that spirit to remain with you. It'll tell you when you're in order and when you're out of order. And that's a great thing. So, Brother Yahuwah Israel, for this national audience that we see is real packed again, like it was yesterday. I don't know if it's more or less. I don't know. But let's go on that telephone and see. The name that we're going to be using in this broadcast, I want to know if there's any record of it. And I was asked a question again just a little while ago. Why don't you use your name as Seer Israel, but why you got vowels in your name? I said, well, the reason I got vowels in my name because I haven't found the paperwork that shows me to not have it in it. I mean, I can assume it all. I mean, Looking at the Semitic language, got no vowels. I understand it's all consonants, but we can't prove it. So to not be in a debate about it, I can't prove it. That's the reason I don't have it in there. So, but like I said again, but we still looking for the paper. So those on that, on this national audience, if you find the paperwork or any writing of the continents that was given to Jacob, kind of get to one of the 69 camps, and then we'll make a switch in a heartbeat. It's like the name YHDH. We were taking care of that yesterday, showing you sound of that. The reason why we use YHDH, because we got the paperwork saying that was his name they was calling him. And he had 11 brothers and a mother and a father. So that's the name they called him. So you know all the nieces and nephews from all the tribes, when they seen him, they called him Yagda, Uncle Yagda, Granddaddy Yagda. So we can prove. But that name means, like the elder said, what that name means is big. Praise the four letters, YHWH. So that's very, very big to know that what YHDH means. That tribe, the fourth son, it means I praise YHWH. Let's see what that smartphone says about God's true name. Let's see. So if we find out what God's true name is, that means any other name cannot be true. So then you'll know DNA what you're working with. If you hear somebody use another name, and then the question we ask, what is God's true name? Let's see what we get there, Brother Yahdai Israel. What is God's true name?
What is God's true name?
Yep, that's what we want to know. We want to know what is God.
Yahweh, named for the God of the Israelites, representing the biblical pronunciation of YHWH, the Hebrew name revealed to Moses in the book of Exodus.
I need to hear a little bit more of that. God's true name.
YHWH. Here's a summary from Britannica. Yahweh, named for the God of the Israelites, representing the biblical pronunciation of YHWH, the Hebrew name revealed to Moses in the book of Exodus. The name YHWH is...
So, the true name is mentioned three times. It is YHWH. So once you got the proof, and when you sitting around anybody discussing Bible, and once that's established that if the name is YHWH, but they want to say another name, then you know being there, they're not there to learn. They there for a what they call that? Well, give me a word, Brother Yahdai. They not there to learn. They for what reason, that Brother Yahdai Israel?
Debate.
Thank you. They there to debate. So when you recognize that they there to debate, and he says the name that Moses used, so that was the key word, the name that Moses used. So we're going back now and see, once you hear what she said, that Moses used that name, YHWH. So she missing a name. So she threw a name on the table. So now we got to go back and see way back in the book, back of the book, and see can we validate what she said, because she called her name Moses. Moses used the name YHWH. Okay, well, let's see. Can we find a couple of verses on that? They will get on down the road on the lesson, but we heard that Moses used the name. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Let's find out the recordings of Moses using the name. Let's find out his actual speech of him talking directly to YHWH, and let's see exactly what happens and what is his next move. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3 there, Brother Yagdai Israel. And we'll look right down at verse number 13. Let's look at 13 down to verse 16. Let's see what we, let's see what we work with. Then read verse 18. Then we can put that, we can put this to rest and go to something else. Let's look at the third chapter of Exodus 13 down to 16 and the program in verse 18. Come on.
The book of Exodus chapter 3, verse number 13 through 16, and verse number 18 reads. Book of Exodus 3, verse number 13. And Moses said unto Yahuwah, Yahuwah, when I come unto the family of Israel, say unto them, Yahuwah, your father that sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 14. Yahuwah said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the family of Israel, I am that sent me unto you. Verse 15. And Yahuwah said more unto Moses, that shall I say unto the family of Israel, Yahuwah of your father, Yahuwah of Abraham, Yahuwah of Isaac, Yahuwah of Israel has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Verse 16. Go. Gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Yahuwah of your fathers, Yahuwah of Abraham, Yahuwah of Isaac, and of Israel, appear unto me, saying, I have surely visited you. See that which is done unto you in Egypt. Verse 18, and they shall hearken to thy voice. Thou shalt come, you and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. You shall say unto him, Yahuwah the Israelite have met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice Yahuwah, our Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. So there it is, see, right? So now you're clear about why they use the name, because that was the name that Moses was told to give to the children of Israel. See, and that's the whole key to everything. You have to be clear about the protocol of Yahuwah. See, Moses was told to give the four letters to Israel. So that's called a confirmation. So Moses was told to go give the children of Israel my name, and my name is the four letters forever. So clearly when you hear anybody use any other name besides the four letters, you know the spirit of Yahuwah is not on them because they is not using the four letters, so that takes them right out of the covenant of Yahuwah. Right there and there. If you're not using the four letters, that takes you right out of the covenant of Yahuwah. So right now your life is a crapshoot. So you got to be clear about it. Let's ride over here and take a look at something that's in Second Kings 23. 2 Kings 23, 1, 2, and 3, verse 8, 17. 21 and 27. We're going to look at something that's written in 2 Kings 23, 1 down to verse 3, verse 8, 17, 21, and 27. Let's see what that say there, Brother Yagdai Israel. Come on.
The book of 2 Kings chapter 23, verse number 1, 2, 3, verse 8, verse 17, verse 21, and verse number 28 reads. Book of 2 Kings, chapter 23, verse number 1. The king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Yahuwah Judah and of the 10 northern tribes. Verse number 2. And the king went up into the temple of Yahuwah, and all the men of Yahuwah Judah, and all the inhabitants of the southern kingdom with him, and the priests, the seers, and all the people, both small and great. He read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the temple of Yahuwah. Verse number 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before Yahuwah. He walked after Yahuwah to keep his commandments, Torah instructions, and his covenant with all their mind and with all their strength to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. Now the people stood to the covenant. verse number 8. And he brought all the priests out of the city of Yahdah Judah, defiled the high places where the priests had burnt incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Oshea, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Verse number 17. Then he said, what tide is that I see? The men of the city told him, it is the sepulchre of a man of Yahweh, which came from Yahdah Judah. Proclaim these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. Verse number 28. Verse 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto Yahweh your Yahweh, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Verse 28. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Yahdah Judah?
Mm-hmm. Well, he said, keep the Passover. What he's saying, the feast, whatever feast, the feast, is the feast coming up in about 3 weeks. So there's a covenant to the feast, which one coming up again in about 3 weeks. So so Yahweh says his thing is about covenants. What he recognized the children of Israel is through the covenant. So it's a covenant to keep the feast days. And the feast days will be getting around the corner, another feast day again in about 3 weeks. And that's what Yahweh is a covenant keeper. And that's what he is, a covenant keeper. So if you want to know about the Almighty Yahweh, you have to see it through the covenant. And he made it plain about that name in 4:2 verse 8. He told Isaiah, make it plain about my name, Isaiah. My name is a covenant. And what he says about his name. So when you send around people, you have to remember, always be where you pad your book. Because the book will tell you exactly who you're talking with by them lining up with the book. It'll tell you exactly. But he's saying 4:2 verse 8. What can we read? He said in Isaiah 42, verse 8.
Look, Isaiah 42, verse number 8 reads, I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my honor will I not give to another. These are my praise to graven images.
Mm-hmm. So what he said, he's not so otherwise. Anything besides the four letters, and you call on him, You really just bumping your gums. It ain't gonna happen. And another thing he got written about something there, Brother Yahdah. He said we read about you have to go make sure you grab the elders, because once you get hold to it, Moses, you make sure you find the elders and get them straight right away. So you gotta get the elders straight right away. So you gotta make sure when you get it, you just don't puff yourself up. And he tells you in Joel 2 verse 7 something, the last line. Let's see what he says in Joel 2, verse 7, as we carve this lesson out on tape number 20. What he tell you in Joel, which is another covenant. This is another covenant right here. What does it say in the last line of Joel 2, verse 7?
Look at Joel 2, verse number 7 reads. Look at Joel, chapter 2, verse number 7. Joel chapter 2, verse 7 reads, they shall march, and they shall not break their ranks.
You don't break your rank in Numbers 30, verse 1 and 2. What does that mean by you don't break your rank? What's that supposed to mean? Because we're trying to digress on a few things that Brother Yahdah is read, but we're trying to lay it out, and then when you hear a person speaking, You got to go in this Bible, and you got to, first of all, once a confession is made out your mouth, Yahweh got something written about a confession out your mouth in the book of Numbers, chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. He got something about he got a confession out your mouth. Let's see what he says in Numbers 30, verse 1 and 2.
Book of Numbers 30, verse number 1, verse number 2 reads. Book of Numbers 30, verse 1. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribe concerning the family of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh hath commanded. Verse 2. If a man and woman vow a vow unto Yahweh, or swear an oath to bind themselves with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceed out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if it come out your mouth, guess what? It's residue in heaven. And that's the key. You want, if they make a confession out your mouth, that's why I say be very careful when time for testimony time. Then, because you and everybody else getting a testimony in, then you get one in too. But remember one thing. Every word you're saying is recorded in heaven. What do you mean, where that at, brother? WCC, what do you mean, where that at? Brother Yagdai Israel, give me Enoch 98. Let's see if every word is recorded in heaven. I'll peek down around the 98th chapter and what we just said. See, WCC, the 500 million members, you know what they do? They packed the broadcast, no doubt about it. But their goal is to catch those seer, six anointed camps in something. So that's the reason they hear, the alarm goes off for them to hear what we're saying. But you got a lot of them, like the other say, just only on the broadcast just to try to catch the seer in something. I'm not trying to learn nothing, just trying to catch them in something. But like I said, again, we know the game changer is if you stay in the word of Yahweh, you'll be waiting a long time if you stay in the word of Yahweh on catching the six anointed camps on anything. Because what we're going to tell you is the scripture, then we just precept that and go from there. So where in the 98th chapter, do it say is anything about that anywhere between 1 to 12 there, Brother Yahweh Israel? Can you give me about two verses out of there where it says everything that you say is recorded in heaven? Can you help me out there, Brother Yagdai Israel? See you ready.
That was 98.
Yeah, make it 98. 98. We can. I know. We can get past 3. We can get past 3 on it. We just want to accommodate the WCC for a minute, and we'll get back to what we own. That real past 4. It just tell us that every word that is we says, it is a record on it in heaven. So can we read that by 7 from Adam? Yeah, Brother Yagdai, yes. Can we read that? Come on.
I'm picking up at 1st Enoch chapter 98, verse 6, and it reads, I sworn to you, you sinners, by the righteous great one, that all your evil deeds are revealed in heaven, that none of your wrong deeds of oppression covered and hid. Verse 7. Do not think in your spirit, nor say in your mind that you do not know, and that you do not see, that every sin is recorded every day in heaven in the presence of the Most High. Verse 8. From now on you know that all your wrongdoing that you do will be written down every day to the day of your judgment.
Yeah. You see that? So all your wrongdoings that you do will be written down, and they will come against you. And they're right there. Now we're gonna precept that because one thing that you never do what Yahweh, because everything you do is wrong. I got it against you. Now what he says in the 26th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3. Of Isaiah. Now, look what he says here. So, look what he says here in 1, 2, and 3. Good to see you.
The book of Isaiah 26, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 reads, the book of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Yahweh Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. Verse 2. Open you the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Verse 3. Thou wilt keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because they trust in you.
Mm-hmm. So you say he will keep you in perfect peace. That's if you keep your mind on on him. So if you keep your mind on him, now he's letting you know exactly what he's going to do. He'll do. So if you keep your mind on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. And see, and that's a game changer right there, see, right? So if your mind on him, you're in perfect peace. So now if you're talking, then all of a sudden, while you're talking, Proverbs 16:32-33 comes up. Let's see what it says in Proverbs 16:32-33. Now, you hear what Yahweh said. If you keep your mind on him, he'll tell you what he'll do. But then all of a sudden, you're sitting there talking to an individual, and Proverbs 16:32-33 come up. What does it say?
The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 32, and verse 33 reads, book of Proverbs 16, verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth of his spirit than he that taketh a city. Verse 33, light is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So he says, if you know how to hold your anger, now you can hold your anger if you keep your mind on him. See, automatically, he just told you, he gave you the game changer. But when your mind leave him, and then your mind on something else, then he's going to get away from you. And then you know right then and there what spirit a person in. Let's get a precept on that by going to the regular book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 9. So let's get a precept on that. So now, what we're trying to tell the six anointed camps, you have to not look at the texture of skin. It can be a low one or whatever. Make sure the calling you make is according to the Bible. You can tell who's on what. Once you got the what to work with, then you have no doubt of what's happening. So in the regular book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 9, let's see what it says. You know what I say? Let's go see what it says.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse number 9 reads, book of Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 9. Be not hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools.
He said, you don't be hasty in your spirit. Because if you get angry and don't know that the cut is supposed to catch you, I mean, everybody going to get angry. Even your father got angry. But all of a sudden, that covenant kicks right in. It'll catch you, and you calm down. He's waiting there. I said, God, give me a big belly full of Yahweh right now because I'm boiling over. So now on Yahweh, let you know, don't be angry with the spirit because anger lies in the bosom of a fool. That's what he just said. Let's precept that to Sirach 14:9-10. Let's go to Sirach. So you have to, listen, 6 and on the caps, you're going to have a lot of visitors coming. And you have to make sure you're clear that although there's a body there, but you got to be clear that the Bible would tell exactly what you're working with because you can't hide it when the Bible is on the table. You'll know who come to tell something, and we know who got to come to hear something. We know because all you got to do is put a couple things on them, and you'll know exactly what spirit you're working with. And when that spirit come up that don't line up, then you know how you make adjustments according to the Bible. Let's see what it says in Sirach 14, verse 9 and 10.
The book of Sirach, chapter 14, verse number 9, verse number 10 reads. Book of Sirach, chapter 14, verse number 9. The covetous man's eye is not satisfied with his portion. The sin of the wicked drives up his life. Verse 10, a wicked eye envious is bread. He is a nigger at this table.
Mm-hmm. Then you become a nigger at the table. So then now you got a nigger at the table. See, there you go right there. So you see, when you don't keep the covenant, and when you don't keep the covenant, all of a sudden you demeanor them changed. Now you're backbiting, nerving, complaining. Now, in your mind, according to scripture, I got a nigga to pay. See that? There's it right there. So you see, that can be that role can be on anybody that it have anybody. See, they gotta pay it as one group of people, but no, it ain't. It's based upon exactly what he said. You can be a nigga at the table when your demeanor is off the covenant of Yahweh, and he said, oh my goodness. Now here's a nigga at the table right now. A nigga's in my presence. Here's right there. Read again 14 verse 10. Read again 14 verse 10 now, Brother Yahweh Israel.
The book of Sirach, chapter 14, verse 17. A wicked eye envious is bread, and he is a nigger at his table.
You see, he envies bread because all of a sudden he'll be looking at something he'll overlook 1 Corinthians 12:18. He'll overlook 12:18, and then he'll bring in verse 25. See, when you overlook 1 Corinthians 12:18, then automatic 25 will kick in. Let's see what happens by being a nigga at the table. This would happen because when you come out from the understanding of Yahweh, you become a nigga at the table because you overlook what he got written in 12:18 and verse 25. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 12:18 and 25?
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18, verse 25 reads. Book of 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 18. When I have Yahweh set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care, one for another.
See, when you become a nigga at the table, you ignore what Yahweh said by keeping your mind on him, and you keep your perfect peace, and you become a nigga at the table, and you ignore everything that's written in the Bible. That's when you know one thing. Well, I see now ain't nothing to check this fellow. So we know there's something to do with anything, so now you have to find out what steps behind that. When you find out you got a nigga at the table, you got to go in the Bible and see exactly what happened. What happened next? Because he gives you a precept there, Brother Yahweh Israel. He gives you a precept that, and how you know you got a nigga at the table, because, you know, matter of fact, a wise man, he said to me, he said, I'm going to tell you something, Seer. If you tell me something, you know I ain't going to never forget it. That's a good thing. If you tell something, and that's the same thing, because you know what I do, I write down a lot of things. I write down some things and all of a sudden it'll come back. But over here in Deuteronomy there, Brother Yahweh Israel, I'm looking for a precept of Numbers 30, verse 1 and 2. I'm looking to get me a precept on the same thing. And I'm around 21. And can you help me give me a precept on the same thing he says about what we read in Numbers 30, verse 1 and 2. I need a precept on that one to make sure, because then I got to digress on some statements that I heard. And if I heard these statements in the 23rd chapter, look what it says in verse 21 down to verse 23. See, when I hear a statement, then all of a sudden I look at the person that's making these statements, and I say, wait a minute. I got to digress on what I'm hearing coming out your mouth. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21 down to verse 23. What does it say?
The book of Deuteronomy 23, verse 21 through 23 reads. Book of Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. When you shall vow a vow unto Yahweh your Yahweh, you shall not slack to pay it. For Yahweh your Yahweh will surely require it of you, and it will be sin in you. Verse 22, that thou shalt forbear the vow, it shall be no sin in you. Verse 23, that which is gone out of your lips, you shall keep and perform. even a free will off in the corner thou hast vowed unto Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, which you have promised with your mouth.
Mm-hmm. He said, when you bow to the Almighty and it come out your mouth, do you know you've locked in place for 100 million trillion years? When you bow to Yahuwah, and I want to digress to a knock on the door. I was at the temple of Yahuwah, and a knock came on the door. Knock, knock, knock. And he said, who is it? He said, well, I'm fresh out of Bowie's class, and I come to, you know, I'm learning as much as I can from Bowie's class, so I finally made it home to really learn about his true name and everything else. Me and my wife, we here, and we here to learn all we can. We finally made it home. I said, yes, that talked pretty good. All right. So this couple finally made it home by coming knocking on the door of Camp One of Voices of the True Israelites and said, we finally made it home. And they do everything they can to show their appreciation. They've done everything. But these verses says, when you bow a vow to the Almighty, you can't back away from it. You know, then now let's go and see what happens. Then all of a sudden, then Yahuwah going to do something to you to see that what you said out your mouth. Here's the point. When you say something out your mouth, Yahuwah going to try you on the mouth. That's why I'm supposed to be very careful when you make a statement out your mouth, especially on testimony hours or whatever, time to give your testimony. Be very careful because we read, what do we read again? Let's read that verse again in Enoch 98 again. That was 6-8. Read that again now, Brother Yahdai Israel. One more time because we're working on something. 6-8 says what? Read that again
now. The book of 1st Enoch, chapter 98, verse number 6-8 reads. First book of Enoch, chapter 98. Verse number 6. First Enoch 98, verse 6. I have sworn to you, you sinners, by the righteous great one, that all your evil deeds are revealed in heaven, that none of your wrong deeds of oppression are covered in here. Verse 7. Do not think in your spirit nor say in your mind that you do not know and that you do not see. And every sin is recorded every day in heaven in the presence of the Most High. Verse 8. For now you know that all your wrongdoing that you do will be written down every day until the day of your judgment.
Yeah. Every wrongdoing that you do is written down. So when you bow the bow out of to Yahuwah out of the mouth, you locked in place for 100 trillion years. So in Judges chapter 3, let's see what it says in Judges chapter 3. In Judges chapter 3, we got to just follow the way it gives it. Because see, that's why you be very careful in the sea of love to hear your testimony. Hey, all right, hold on. Give a testimony. You know, give a testimony. And you remember everything you say. Now, in Judges chapter, make that 7 here, Brother Yahuwah Israel. Let's see what Yahuwah said in the 7th chapter. He says in verse 4. What do he say in 7 verse 4? Judges 7 verse 4.
The book of Judges chapter 7 verse number 4 reads, Yahuwah said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them there. And I will try them for you there. It shall be that of whom I say unto you, this shall go with you. The same shall go with you. And whomsoever I say unto you, this shall not go with you. The same shall not go.
So Yahuwah said, once you make a vow out the mouth or whatever, then you got the nine. You got to try and see what you're working with. So now you got to see what you're working with. Now, so Yahuwah said, okay, we heard that. Now it's time, now it's trying period. Let's run to Mark chapter, get a precept on that. So you got to be tried now. Matter of fact, oh, Sirach 7 verse 7 says what again, though? What does Sirach 7 verse 7 say? So you understand something, see right here. Once you bow the bow out your mouth, it is the obligation of those in leadership to try you to see what you said out your mouth, will it stand up? Because Yahweh wants you first to make a statement out your mouth. And you know you're locked in for help until he returns. So all of a sudden then you catch amnesia on it. The clock starts ticking. But what did it say again in the book of Joel to the Seer 2 verse 7, last line? He said, I'm going to get hot and heavy now. He said, I'm going to get hot and heavy. What did he tell the Seer to do when it get hot and heavy to put on tape? What did he say? Last line in 2 verse 7. Joel
chapter 2 verse 7. And they shall not break their ranks.
So when it get hot and heavy, you don't break your rank. And that's why we won't know when you're in the foxhole and your back is against the wall with your back of somebody. You got to make sure they ain't mumbling and complaining. They watching your back as you watch their back. But you'll know all that once the heat turn up. Once he send a little heat on you and turn you up, then we'll know what you're made of. Because the offense is going to come. Now let's go to Mark chapter 3, and we'll look at verse number, Mark chapter 4, and we'll pick it up at verse number 14. Let's read a little bit till we get our point. We're going to precept that into Sirach. Well, I won't. 6 verse 7. I want to precept that after we hear a little bit of this right here. What it says in Mark chapter 4, and pick it around by verse number 14.
Mark chapter 4, verse number 14.
Verse 14. Mm-hmm.
The book of Mark chapter 4, verse number 14. The sower soweth the word, verse 15. These are they that by the wayside, for the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately and take away the word that was sown in their mind. Verse 16. These are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard, the word immediately receive it with gladness. Verse 17. They have no root in themselves, so endure it but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arrives for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Verse 19, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entereth in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful.
Mm-hmm. That's good right there. So then they chuck the word and they come unfruitful, but they've been made a statement out your mouth. And that's why it tells you plainly in 6 verse 7 what you got to do to another seer. A seer was told exactly what you got to do, and you got to take that under consideration. What did he say you got to do in 6 verse 7 of the book of Sirach?
Book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse number 7 reads. Sirach 6, verse 7. Be it, if thou wouldest get a friend, prove them first. Be not hasted to credit any.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you get a friend, you know you got to prove the friend and see what you're working with. Why would you want to find out your friend up the road when the heat is on them, and then all of a sudden now you arguing with them and the heat is on? This ain't the heat is on time now. This is the time to remember what was said out your mouth. See, what's said out your mouth is recorded in heaven forever. So when you back away from the statement you made, and Yahweh remembers agreements that you make out of your mouth. So when you back away from it, you become something that we can reach. Let's go to the book of Hebrew. Louis had to call Hebrew. Tonight, so now this is what you become. This thing we got to read, and that's, and we got to go back to that again, that that Sarat again, and you, this is what you become now that we can reach. So now you got to make sure, that's what I said. Once you learn and have the right spirit on you, you better look right in this Bible and see exactly what's standing for you, and you know how to make your call according to the Bible. Now, this is what you become when it's turned up on you, because Yahweh told you in 16:13-33, we're not reading it. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. So that means you're gonna get some feedback. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. And this is what he says over here in the book of Hebrew, the Buddhist title called Hebrew, chapter 12, and we'll pick it up at verse number 6. 6 down to verse 8.
Book of Hebrew.
12th chapter. Yeah, the 12th chapter, verse 6 through 8. What do it say is 6 through 8? What it say there, brother? Yahdai Israel, see right. 12, 6 through 8.
The book of Hebrew, chapter 12, verse number 6 through 8 reads, the book of Hebrew 12, verse number 6, for whom Yahweh loved, he chastened it, encourages every son and daughter whom he received. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, Yahweh dealeth with you as with sons and daughters. What son or daughter is he whom the father chasteneth not? Verse number 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not so.
Mm-hmm. And what he says in same book in the 10th chapter 35 through 39, didn't he tell you the penalty of it? Didn't he tell you the penalty of it? See, that's what I like about this man's word. He will let you do what you do. And then you say, you know, well, I want that to be done for you to bring out this lesson, to lay it out there exactly. The tick-tocking is gone from the minute you have made statements in the past. And that same statement, he remembered 100 trillion million years, because he said the mental spirits is writing down all your evil doings until the day you die. We read that twice. So keep that in your mind. So what you reading that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Hebrew, including the word Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 35 to 39 reads. Book of Hebrew, chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, to have great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for you have need of patience, that as you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. Verse 37, for yet a little while he shall come, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by the covenant, but if any man or woman draw back, I shall have no pleasure in them. Verse 39, we are not of them who draw back unto prediction, but of them that believe to the saving of our life.
Mm-hmm. So if you believe Yahweh's word, if you draw back, I don't care what height you get to, I'm going to get you. Now, who on record that we can read that draw back? That we can read. So whatever height they have to come, who on record that we can read that draw back? So he says, Yahweh let you run. Oh, he let you run. He let you play your hand all over, have you find your $10 and everything else. But he says this, if you draw back, I'm okay. So remember one thing. Do you understand the timeline of Yahweh? Psalm 90 verse 4. Do you know Yahweh's timeline? He got timeline. What is timeline in 90 verse 4? A psalm.
Look at Psalm chapter 90, verse number 4 reads. Book of Psalm chapter 90, verse number 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night.
He's 1,000 years to him is just like it's about yesterday to him. So when you make a statement, the statement is just like yesterday. And Peter pulled that verse in 3:9, but Peter gave you the part that you have to make a consideration on. He said, if you draw back, I got no pledge in you. I'm going to keep you. That's what he said, right? Good. He said, my timeline that I have is like a, you know, like 1,000 years. It's like a day to me. You know, no man live to be 1,000. He can do the live 936 somewhere, 969, whatever it is. So nobody made a day. So Peter pulled that verse in 3:9 of 2 Peter. And what did Peter say in 3:9 behind that verse? Peter pulled it. Right before that, the national audience of Southern Kingdom. He pulled that verse from 90:4. And what he said in 3:9? But then he put something else with it. What did he say?
The book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse number 8 reads. Book of 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Uh-huh. Then he adds something to it. See, Yahweh stopped it right there. But then the spirit of Yahweh put something on Peter to give you wiggling room. What's the wiggling room in the next verse?
Verse number 9. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slack, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Did you see that? Perish. That means to kill you. He said, now, I'm going to kill you. He said, but I don't get no pleasure in killing you, but I'm going to kill you. Is that what he's saying in verse 9? Read that verse 9 again. Well, that was 10. I don't know what verse you read. Read that again, because I want to comment on that verse again. This is what the man's saying. Now, Peter pulled Psalms 90:4. Then he read the same verse, but then Yahweh put a spirit on him to add another verse to that verse. And what did he say?
2 Peter 3, verse number 9. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack, but his long suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah. Yeah. And 3:19 says what of that? And there's a great big temple, and they just, see, they keep pulling things for you to see, well, if you didn't catch it this way, maybe you catch the timeline that it is in 3:19. What's the timeline 3:19? Backed up in 7:6 of St. John. Go back to the timeline. What is said in 3:19?
The book of Acts 3, verse number 19 reads. Book of Acts 3, verse number 19. Book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 18. Repent. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh.
So, and what kind of time you sign you got on this repentance in 7:6 of St. John? What kind of timeline you got?
The book of St. John, chapter 7, verse number 16 reads. St. John 7, verse number 6. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, my time is not yet come. But your time is always ready.
This man just said. He said, but now listen, your repentance is to know one thing, your time is already ready. So if you fortunate enough to hear what we're saying, remember your time is always ready. See, he knew his time and let's run back to Sirach 30, verse 24 and 25. And then let's find out if you can remain a 14 verse 10 of Sirach. We're going to see if you can remain. Let's see what it says in Sirach 30:24-25. Let's see what you remain in Sirach 14:10. Sirach 30:24-25. Backed up with, and see what you remain, a 14:10.
Book of Sirach, chapter 30, verse 24, verse 25 reads. Book of Sirach 30, verse 24. Envy and wrath shorten the life. And carefulness bringeth age before the time. Verse 25. A cheerful and good man will have a care of his meat and diet.
Now, what that mean? What do that spirit do for you right there, Brother Yahdai Israel? Again, what the spirit do for you again? I need to hear that again. Because I got to bring some out, you know, because I'm an eyewitness, and you are an eyewitness too. So I got to bring some out. Dad, read that verse again.
The book of Sirach 30, verse 24. Envy and wrath shorten the light. Carefulness bringeth age before the time. Verse 25. The cheerful and good mind will have a care of their meat and diet.
Okay, good. Now I won't expound it before we read what you become behind it. I'm expound on that. Now, you know, we got six anointed camps. And we know that sooner or later, that's why we get in all and all the camps too. To help brothers and sisters coming, we're getting the word prepared. And when we see brothers and sisters coming, we clearly that you properly that you know that we thinking that you are according to the Bible that you ran a good race and you ready to repent. You know, repent. That will thank you. You're coming to do is repent. You see. So we clear about the coming supposed to be of repentance. Because we looked at you and we see that you are now, you've been struggling, and then what comes out your mouth, I want to lay hands on you. I know it's Saturday, so I'm saying, well, if you want to lay hands on me, what to hold yourself up? Because you can't even breathe right. So if you're laying hands on somebody, that in your condition, you can't even breathe right. I figured the best hands you lay on somebody is to hold yourself up. Because that's why I guess we put some word on, you know, one of them long-lost members running back to class ready to get themselves straight. But I didn't know that you come to put hands. I was looking at you the way you standing up, that on the hand that you can put on somebody is to lean on somebody. That's on the hand that I see you can put on somebody is to lean. And you ain't got, and your breath is so short that you mess around and move the wrong direction, you fall out. So that's what I thought. You see, that's why I say you can't, y'all make your calling according to what's said out your mouth, because repentance is what's supposed to be said, because Yahweh made it plain over here in the book of, he said something in the book of Zechariah, Brother Yahweh. Let me give me a book and peek. He made a statement in Zechariah. He made a statement. But when you hear long lost soldiers, when you ain't seen them in a long time, and on their mind, I come to lay hands on you. To prop yourself up? You know, Sabbath day, you come to prop yourself up. What we see is you got a breathing problem. You can't even breathe. So if you can't even breathe, right? So we know on the propping, you must want to put hands on somebody to just prop yourself up. That's the way I've seen it then. But I have to lead by example. And plus the Sabbath day, you have to always lead by example. Yahweh tells you what to do on the Sabbath day, and stick with it. That's what he said. Because I'm going back to a conversation that was said that before I put up in Zechariah, You know, so the knock, knock, knock on the door, the knock, knock, knock of the temple camp one. He said, well, I finally made it home, and myself and my wife, you know, I was over in Bowie's class, so I finally made it home, and I'm really here, and you will always be my fear. You always will be my fear. Okay. I heard that. I'll always be your fear. I said, okay, good. Anything need to be done, let me know. Anything. I'll do it. Anything need to be done, I'll do it. Okay. Hey, that's my fear. He always be my fear. Anything to be done, I'll do it. I'll do it. So we was looking at why we not using Judah in the proper perspective according to the 22 alphabets. That's what, because one thing about it, we don't have the name in writing. So it's best to always, when you got something in writing, you can go with it like we go on airways. And now the little woman that was paid off three years ago, now she's back on airways telling you that the true name is YHWH. So now, so we said, well, we're looking for his name, the true name. We know his name don't have no vowels. Well, you know, I got a library card, yeah? And I go sit in the library all day long till I find, I'm going to find that name here. Okay, that's a good thing. Go find that name. So he's sitting in the library many days. And then all of a sudden he come out to class one Saturday. I got the name. I found the name. All right, you found the name. Let's see, can we all read the name? So we all got a copy. Everybody read the name. The name is YHGH. Okay, we got the name. Now we can use Yahdah, YHDH. What it means, I praise YHWH. All right, good job, good job. But all of a sudden, then you always be my fear. Then all of a sudden something, that statement is no longer exists today. You know, it don't exist today. Now I come to tell you and everybody in class, you got to get up onto me. Get up onto him. But that's all it means. You ain't got a book. That means you on broke rank now? I mean, you on bypass the Bible? Well, you got to get up onto me now. I'm the leader now. Yahweh told me I'm the leader. I'm reincarnation of Melchizedek. I said, yeah, that's where you is right now. Reincarnation of Melchizedek. Good. All right, so good. So now we got that part on the table. I got a little bit on the table, but one thing about it, we cleared that you on broke rank. And now repentance is over because the reincarnation of Melchizedek that you have to, and so I'm, reincarnation of Melchizedek. But then while you're saying these things, my memory come back to me. It was written over here in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Something's written. It just comes back. It's gone on me. Something's written in the reincarnation of Melchizedek. Something is written in his Bible there. Brother Yahdah Israel. You know, see, one thing about it, like this wise man told me, say, if you tell me something, I ain't going to forget it. Well, one thing about it, if you tell me something, I'm basically, if it's a good stuff, I'm going to write it down. And I remember it. And when your speech changed, it'll come back to me. So now I was reading something in the book of Hebrews about you are the return of Melchizedek. You are the return of Melchizedek. And I looked into this Bible. And the Bible tells me that when, if that's so, then what is this statement right here in the 10th chapter saying? What is it saying in 10, 12, and 13? What is it saying in 10, 12, and 13 now, Brother Yahdah Israel? What can we read in the book of Hebrews, who is kind of called Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 and 13?
The book of Hebrews. Fluid Hebrews, chapter 10, verse number 12, verse number 13 reads. Book of Eber, chapter 10, verse number 12. But this man, as he offered one sin, one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh the Father. Verse 13. From henceforth, expected to his enemy, he made his footstool.
Mm-hmm. So the one Melchizedek, that is on the table, next time he come back here, it's not for no kind of communication whatsoever. He's sitting on the right hand of his father, and he's not going to return until he got some beat down. But he did leave something on the table for everybody to read, that as he going to heaven, he left something on the table for us to read. He left out his own mouth. He says in 14, verse 12. This is what he said out of his own mouth. He says something in 14, verse 12. And what did he say, Brother Yahya Israel?
The book of
St.
John.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 14,
12. What did he say out of his own mouth? That's him talking. And what did he say out of his own mouth?
The book of St. John 14, verse number 12 reads, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
So he say his work is done. If we just hypothetically leave it as Melchizedek. His work is done on earth, otherwise instructing anybody to do anything. He left, he said, it will be a he to instruct you to from this point on, because the next time of his appearance, it will be give me a verse. Next time he comes, according to Luke, next time he come, according to Luke 19, next time the return of him, that we can read, you got to follow a person's mouth. The next time turns, you got to follow a person's mouth, what they're saying. Always listen to the mouth and take notes, because it's going to come up. So the next time he comes, do what he says, that we can read in the book of Luke 19:27. What did he say?
The book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 27 reads. Book of Luke 19, verse 27. But those my enemy, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
So his return is about that you've been warned by the he. And let's find who the he is, the name of 3 verse 7. He said, you got to be warned by the he, because on his return, he going to slay them that don't walk the order that he said out of his mouth. He going to do the same. Because this next move, but he always leaves somebody down here to say something. He said, I'm going back, but he going to do greater things than me. He will do it. So if hypothetical, he'd be Melchizedek. We'll take care of it in a minute. He's right now saying out of his own mouth that he will be on the right hand of his father until the enemies he made his footstool. Then when he returns, he's going to tell them, bring that enemy before me and now go ahead and do some killing on him. An enemy is a non-covenant keeper. The definition of an enemy to him is a non-covenant keeper. What he got written, he lives it and walks it by example. So what's the enemy to Yahweh? When you are non-covenant keeper. That makes you an enemy to him. If he say in 7:6, your time is always, but he know his time. So now be clear about what the enemy is to him, a non-covenant keeper. What you reading now, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Amos 3, verse number 7 reads, Surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the seers.
Yes. Now, another statement was made. It was said, I know who you is, but why you don't know who I am? You don't know who I am. Okay. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Let's go to Maccabees, start at 10, verse 72. He said, you don't know who the I am. He had another word in there, got four letters to it, but it sure wasn't no Yahweh. So he definitely says, you don't know who I am. Okay. Let's see what he says about that. I don't know who you are. Let's see what it says that I can read in 1072 of 1 Maccabees.
Book of 1 Maccabees.
But give me a half. All I need just a point that statement is somewhere in the Bible. Just give me enough to work with that, Brother Yagdaius. Did anybody else make a statement like that? You don't know who I am. You don't know who the four letters that I am. Okay. Let's see what it says behind that in 1 Maccabees 10, 72.
Book of 1 Maccabees 10, verse 72 reads, ask and learn who I am.
Ask and learn who I am. Okay. Well, you know, all the way I can judge anybody is by the putting me asking, because he told us plainly in 724, we can't judge by appearance. And we can't judge by appearance. Now let's go ask who you are. Then I'm going to run over to Zechariah. Let me take a look at Zechariah. Ask who you are. Okay, well, the only way I can make a call on who you are, I got to go in the book. I can't do the 724. I can't judge according to appearance. I got to judge according to that the book line you up. The book got to line you up, so we go on to Zechariah and seeking the book line you up. That's what we do. Let's see what he says in Zechariah chapter 1. We want the book line you up. See, I can't line nobody up. You know, I might have bad feeling one. I might not be, my stomach might be hurting me every now and then, but I know one thing is always right is his word. Let's see what he says here now. Line. You don't know who that I am. Yeah. But I'm going to go in this book. I'm going to take a peep and see who you are. Zechariah chapter 1. And let's see how we get the answer in verse 13.
The book of Zechariah chapter 1. Verse number 13 reads.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Zechariah chapter 1. Verse number 13.
Mm-hmm.
Zechariah 1, verse 13. Yahweh answered the minister of spirit to talk with me with good words and comfortable words.
That's right. So, you know, the question was, I don't know who you are. Well, so I have to get good and comfortable words, then I don't know who you are, but I'm going to find out. He said, yeah, okay, well, the word was brought out. Okay, good. Now, let's see what it says, though. Now we go on to the fourth chapter of Zechariah. We're going to see, can we walk it down? Who are you? Who are you according to the Bible? We're going to Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 6.
Because Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6 reads, then he answered, spake unto me, saying, this is the word of Yahweh unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, save Yahweh of hosts.
Mm-hmm. So Yahweh says, you tell Zerubbabel, you're the one in charge, he's announced. How I operate, it will not, and the way I'm going to have you to operate And if you is by the spirit of the Almighty Yahweh, it will not be by power. Otherwise, your statement will not be, what that statement was, let me see, what statement was again? I forgot the statement just that fast, that brother Yahweh Israel. I come to put hands on you. You come to put hands on me. But Melchizedek says it would not be by might, nor by power. Oh, it'll be by the Spirit. So right then and now, we know something, and then we precept that to 12, verse 50, to St. John. So now, let me read that again. 4, verse 6 says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of a four-letter man unto Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says Yahweh. You say, whatever will happen, it's not going to be by the physical thing. It's not going to be by the push and grab and all that. It ain't going to work like that. He said, now, a servant of mine would deal with whatever he got to deal with by the Spirit. That's how servants of Yahweh will operate, by the Spirit. And what's the definition of the Spirit in Proverbs 1:23? So that's what I'm saying. You got to make sure you line up everybody from the Bible. See, a person can bump the gums all he want to bump the gums. But you are, while they get through, come up with some air, they looking right at that Bible and say, well, now, we see this ain't practicing what you preach, because the Bible said it ain't going to be, come to lay hands. Because Yahweh said, I don't operate by that way. I don't operate by the might and the power, because if I'm going to come to lay hands on you, I'm looking that way. The best hands you can lay on somebody is lean on them, because you can't even breathe right. You got a breathing problem. So if any kind of fast movement, you have to look for that thing that on TV they put in your nose and hit about, pump it about 11, 12 times. So I know that ain't lined up with the Bible, so we know you're not lined up with the Bible. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. What does that Spirit mean in 1:23?
The book of Proverbs 1.
Yes, sir.
23 reads.
It reads.
Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
So, St. John 6:63. So I will make known my words unto you. So that means, but where is this words at in 34, verse 16? Where is this words at? So where is this words at? He said, I'm going to make known my words unto you. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. So we just precept that the 1:23 is by the word. So where is the word at that we can read? And 34:16 of Isaiah, where the word at, Brother Yahweh Israel?
Book of Isaiah 34:16. Seek you out of the book of Yahweh and read. The one of these shall fail. None shall want to make. For my mouth is that command, and the Spirit it had gathered them.
Well, this is the second time I'm seeing this royalty leadership show up around one of the six anointed capital with no book. So if you ain't showing with no book, that means right then and now, that ain't the right spirit, because if you want to resolve anything, you must have the book of Yahweh and point at it, and we all can read together. Well, this is what I stand on right here. So we found out that Melchizedek made a final statement that he going away and he going to take care. So Melchizedek is not going to be the one the next time he come back is to bust some heads. but he left a he down here, and then we found out who the he left down here. Did we read Amos 3, verse 7? Who was the he left down there, brother Yahya Israel?
The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse number 7 reads. Book of Amos 3, verse number 7. Surely, Yahweh would do nothing but reveal his secret unto his servants, the seers.
Let's precept that and see when a confrontation on the table is that so, even when it's hard and heavy. Let's go to Maccabees 4:46. Go to Maccabees 4:46. Because I'm looking at this memo, is a brochure, they call it. It says, I am the high priest of Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. High priest of Melchizedek, okay? Okay. I'm reincarnation of Melchizedek. I'm the high priest, okay? High priest of Melchizedek. What do it say in 4:46 of Maccabees behind that?
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 46 reads, and laid up the stones in the mountain of the temple in a convenient place, till there should come a seer to show what should be done with them.
Mm-hmm. So he said they knew how to tell and do all that, but they said, wait a minute, although I might be whatever I am, but I still got to make sure I get a confirmation from the seer. And the high priest forever and all that good stuff, and I'm going to precept that and see exactly if you are, because you have to be anointed to be, put yourself in that position by the seer to be a high priest. Now, let's find out what is written. And but the people look at somebody in 1 Maccabees 14:41, and he made a profound statement. Let's see, can we tie his in exactly what did he say and what happened in 1 Maccabees 14:41 pertained to what was such a lustrous title of being a high priest of Melchizedek. But let's see what this high priest, what happened with this high priest right now. Let's find what's going on with the high priest right now. 1 Maccabees 14, verse 41.
The book of 1 Maccabees chapter 14, verse 41 reads, also that Yahya, Judah, and the priests were well pleased that Simon should be their governor and high priest forever, till there should arrive a faithful seer.
Take that, son. He said, yeah, you got all that on table, but one thing about it, when the seer come on the table, that is the ball game. See, that means I don't break your rank. So the seer, according to the Bible, he said, yeah, okay, the people are very well pleased. You might have the people well pleased with you. But it don't work that way according to the Bible, because according to the Bible, this is how it works. If you're going to do Bible, if you're doing personality, fine. But if you're doing Bible, you do 1 Samuel 10:1. And this will happen to you in verse 6. So now just take out the personality and let's do Bible. Let's see what the Bible say in 10:1 and verse 6. First Samuel. Let's see what the Bible say you do. See, if you make it a scene according to the Bible, then you said one thing, Yahweh, I've done it your way. But did you do high priest Melchizedek? Did you do the 10:1 and 6? Because if you did, I can't recall. I need my memories to be brought back to me. When did this happen? When did this 10:1 and verse 6 happen?
Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 1. Verse number 6 reads, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vow to William, poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, it is not because Yahweh have anointed you to be captain over his inheritance. Verse number 6. And the spirit of Yahweh will come upon you. You shall prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man.
Okay. And another man, and we return to another man, according to Ezekiel chapter 11, that means something has to be removed from you. And what got to be removed from you when you return to be another man, then this would have to be removed. Your remembrance would be sharp, and you understand everything. And then Ezekiel 11 to kick in. You know, you'd be in a hurry to get in the Bible to make sure the move you're making, the Bible support. Because I don't think Yahweh is going to check the book and see if the movements you're making when it's hard and heavy, would it be the Bible. In the 11th chapter of Ezekiel there, Brother Yahweh Israel, let me see, when the spirit of Yahweh come upon you, you become another man. Then what is removed that we all can look at and see it is by your walk and your talk. 11:19, what will we see out of our eyes? 11:19 of Ezekiel, what will we see out of our eyes?
The book of Ezekiel 11, verse number 19 reads, I will give them one mind. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony mind out of your flesh. Give you a mind of flesh.
Go to the 36th chapter there and get a precept in the same book. I want to see if I can read that again. So he said, once you've been anointed by the seer, you will become, what that verse, you put a, what he say again, you do in verse 6 again, that brother, what that word he say you do? Can you recall it?
You should be turned into another man.
You are turned into another man. Meaning you will not have a stony heart. You will not say, do I know who the four letters you are? You will not say that. You'll be another man. As if you've been anointed by, you've been anointed. But I can't recall this anointed to be the high priest of Melchizedek. I can't recall it. I can't find no records on it. I mean, if you're doing Bible. In the 36th chapter of the same book, let's even get a second witness on it. Let's see in verse 26. 30, what I want. 30, 36, verse 26.
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse number 26 reads, a new mind also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony mind out of your flesh. We'll give you a mind of flesh.
Mm-hmm. That means you'll walk after Melchizedek. And what did Melchizedek say? We just use that hypothetical right now. Oh, we're going to deal with that. The reason we use to show you the walk of Melchizedek that we can read. We're going to St. John chapter 12. We'll let that hold the table. Melchizedek, we'll let you have that for a minute. But we found out that Melchizedek made a statement and did what he said in the 12th chapter. This is what he says in the 12th chapter. He says how he operates. In the 12th chapter, we're seeing how Melchizedek operated in 49 and verse 50. We just want to see how Melchizedek, well, let him be on tape for a minute, Melchizedek, then we're going to take a look at him. Probably in this lesson right here, or Wednesday, let's take a look at Melchizedek too. But we'll let him stay on table for right now, and we'll look at what did Melchizedek say out of his own mouth. What did he say out of his own mouth in 49 and 50? What did Melchizedek say in 49 verse 50? 49 and 50 of 12th chapter of St. John. What did he say?
Book of St. John, chapter 12, verse number 49 and verse 50. St. John, chapter 12, verse 49 and verse 50. Book of St. John, 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandments, what I should say, what I should speak. Verse 50, I know that it is Torah structure that is life everlasting. whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as Joshua the Father said unto me, so I speak.
Well, I got a good example then what you're talking about then. So you say you do everything your father says you do. I got to get an example, and I'm going to see, do that line up. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. He said, I do everything that the father tells me to do. So let's see Melchizedek, reincarnation of Melchizedek. Let's see, do your talk line up with your walk. Let's see what he do in Luke 4, 16 and 17.
Book of Luke, chapter 4, verse number 16, verse 17 reads. Book of Luke, chapter 4, verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, custom was. He went into the temple, polluted where a synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up for to read. Verse 17. There was delivered unto him the book of the seer Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written.
Oh, so what was delivered to him was a book. I don't recall you asking for no book and you stood up and read. I didn't recall you reincarnation of Melchizedek picking up a book and read. Everything I'm reading this book, you opposite of Melchizedek in the flesh. He came to the temple and stood up to read. You come to the sixth anointing camps and talk about you won't put hands on somebody and came to breathe. Yeah. It's the best you can put hands on somebody and do is help prop you up. You see? So it's nothing lining up with this book. But now we got to find a little bit more. So now Samuel made a second appearance in the 16th chapter. And let's see what he did. And when Yahweh said something in verse 12, I can't remember the conversation. So I'm saying it got to come back to me. But this was a conversation of the Bible says, in the 16th chapter, verse 12 and 13. Now listen to this conversation. I can't recall this conversation. And it should not get away from me. But I'm trying to figure out where you fit at according to 16, verse 12 and 13. I can't recall this. What did it say that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of St. John.
We'll make it 1 Samuel 16, 12, and 13.
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse number 12, and verse number 13 reads. Book of 1 Samuel 16, verse number 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ready with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him. For this is he. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brother. Fear of Yahweh came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel the seer rose up and went to Ramah.
I can't recall this conversation for you to be in the position you in now. I can't recall this if we're going to stick to the protocol. You know, the protocol, it must go through the seer. And whoever's going to be anointed, the seer must anoint it. Then once you got the anointing on you, then you both be able to take it further. But I can't recall step one out the way. So then, since I can't recall step one, then I guess what got to happen that we can read. And the book of Hebrew, fluid title called Hebrews, then these are the next steps that got to be made that we can read. See, remember, everything must be done decent in order we can read. So now in the book of Hebrews, there, Brother Yahdai Israel, in the fifth chapter, let's look at 12 down to verse 14. Now, so now let's see what we can do now. Let's see, first of all, we see that you're not lying with the Bible. Because first of all, out your mouth, you said that the fear will always be my fear. That what you say. And out your mouth, you say that whatever needs to be done, I'll take care. If I got to go to the library and sit around all day, I'm going to find the name and bring it back to the class. That was your mouth was. So now I can remember that conversation. I can't remember none of this other stuff that you're doing. I can't remember. All I remember you on broke rank, but then he leave a little wiggle room in the book of the fifth chapter, verse 12 through 14. It's okay, well, here's a little wiggle room for you. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. How about a little wiggle room?
The book of Hebrews, clear the way of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse number 12 through 14 reads. The book of Hebrews, clear the way of Hebrews 5, verse number 12. But when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of Yahweh, that become much such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of the Torah instruction, righteousness, who is a babe. Verse 14, the strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, then give me 3 verse 1 Corinthians behind that. So it you know, we love to see you line up with this Bible, but we clear it's time for you to be taught all over from square one. Because every action you made, it have nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing to do with the Bible. Every move you made from the ambush part, it got nothing to do with the Bible. See? What you reading that, Brother Yagdai Israel?
Just read the book of Eber.
I thought we dropped some down on it. I'd like to get a little bit more of that, but I'm going to back away from that. And what I will get, let's go to Maccabees chapter. Let's fast forward all the way out real quick in the book of Maccabees chapter, second book of Maccabees. No, I can't. We just leave that alone. We'll leave all that alone. I do want to fast forward a little bit more on that, but I look at the clock and see now the time up. I'm got away again there, Brother Yagdai Israel. So what I tell you, what I will get some. Give me what really will happen according to what we hope we held a verse back. So all that we see if we know who you are. On the conclusion we can come up with is a Sirach 14 verse 10. That's the only conclusion we can come up with. I mean, if we're doing it by the Bible. The only conclusion I can come up with by your action, all I can conclude it with is a Sirach 14 verse 10.
The book of Sirach, chapter 14, verse 10. A wicked eye idiot is great. Is a nigger at the table.
That's all I can get out of it. I mean, if I just play my role and you play your role, all I can get out of it, then I got a precept that to the 12th chapter 43 through 45 in the closing statements of Matthew. So all I can get out of it. See, understand one thing. I have to call it by the scripture. And all I can get out of it when you sum it all up, you was a straight up nigga at the table. That's all I can get out of it. And what caused a nigga at the table? According to what we can read, then we got a precept that's 12, 43 to 45 and closing. That's all I can get out of this. All I can get out of this is Matthew 12:43-45. That's all I can get out of this when I see your presence behind your actions. All I can get out of this is according to the Bible. 12:43-45.
Book of Matthew chapter 12:43-45 reads. Book of Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Verse 44. Then he saith, I will return to my, I came out. And when he is come, he findeth empty, swept, and garbage. Verse 45. Then go he and take it with himself, seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. They in and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation.
He says, did we get that 3:1? 1 Corinthians, did we get 3:1, Dorian?
Yes, sir.
So all I can get out of it, what I've seen, I mean, from the page of the book, you have niggered the table. And now you are went away and you have played the role of a male Chesedet in the flesh, and that's from the pits of hell. And that's all I can get out of. I mean, according to the Bible, because male Chesedet kept the Sabbath day, and he had a book in his hand, and if he didn't have it, he asked for one to read. And everything that male Chesedet did in the Bible, it was contrary to what you did. So you can't be male Chesedet in the flesh, and you're doing everything contrary to male Chesedet in the flesh. You don't keep the Sabbath day? Righteous? You'll be a St. John 10:1? What is saying 10:1?
Book of St. John, chapter 10:1 reads. Book of St. John 10:1. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
That's all I can get out of it. That's all if I just do the Bible, because like I said again, emotion and personality ain't got nothing to do with the truth. The truth is what Yahweh is saying, and Yahweh is saying if you're going to Matthew 7. I got to get the alteration. Okay. See, you sounded pretty good, but give Brother Yagda one more in Matthew chapter 7. You know, this is what he's saying. Now, this is what he's saying in Matthew chapter 7. He make up a final statement. Let's see what he says in Matthew 7. Get 14 and 15. What did he say?
Look at Matthew 7. Chapter 7, verse 14, verse 15. Book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life. And few that be that find, verse 15. Beware of false shepherds, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Yeah. You see the Bible saying? And cap it off in verse 20.
Verse number 20. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them.
And that's what I'm going on. According to the fruits of your action, you've done everything contrary to, in my conclusion, that was Satan the devil in the flesh with seven spirits that he had in you. You did anything contrary to what the Bible. If you keep your mind on him on the Sabbath day, and if you come to the end of the sixth anointing camp, you ask for a book if you don't have one, and you put on your case through the book. You've done everything contrary to the Bible. And he says in verse 20, wherefore, by thy fruits shall by, wherefore, by thy fruits, ye shall know them. Otherwise, by your action. Your action saying that you have pissed up seven more demons and they got a hold to you and you're on the way out of it, it's one thing. Give me a 319 and the close and the closing statement. That's it. 319 of Acts. It's all the way out of it. And we gotta watch and see what you're doing. Would you become a 319 of Acts?
The book of Acts 3, verse number 19, read. Book of Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence.
So all thing on the table to do is repent. But the six anointed camps will be alert that if you don't first repent, if you don't first make it aware that you coming to one of the classes, it's the immediately you take that telephone and call Mr. Esau 911 on you. Immediately. If we don't know you coming and no repentance is on the table, the seer says to the six anointed count, immediately call Mr. Esau, the 911, to deal with you, because you're not lined up with nothing in the Bible. So there's no need of us communicating. The option is on you to repent. And all the six anointed camps got to say, I agree with your repentance. So until we hear that, if you show up at any six anointed camp, immediately, whoever see you first, like you told, the brother over there that killed his brother, he said, anything you should slay you. He said, I'm a vagabond, but that's the way not, that you put it on yourself now. If anybody in the six anointed camp see you, immediately pick up the phone and dial Mr. Esau 911, and they'll take it from there. That's it. It's on you. Repent. And all the camps got to make sure they agree. If that don't happen, immediately if you show up in any of the anointed camps or the six camps, the seer said, immediately hit 911 and say, we got a disturbance at such place of the six camps. Come get one and you work it out with them. That's it. Brother Yahdai Israel, close the statement. Take your time and we'll catch you Wednesday night for some old boot. O-T-T-Y, come on.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. Love the way it's rolling out there, see Israel, or see Royal. Great word, King, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah, qua.
Hallelujah, qua. Hey, you bring our elder back in for his closing statement. But that's the way it is. If we can't see a Bible repentance, and all the six anointed camps say, yeah, that's a good repentance, that was a great repentance, then if you show up anywhere among the six anointed camps, immediately call Mr. Esau, 911, and tell we got a disturbance on here on the Sabbath day. Come get it. That's it. That's up to you now. You got it? We know you. We know the network is packed with you. There it is. You got it? Good. We bring back out of LD and get his closing statement before we go on that big station called Pal Talk. And he'll be able to answer any questions that come to you. And LD, you're on the clock for your closing statement. Come on. LD, Gibbs, you're on
the clock.
You say?
Once again. Well, bless you, Brother C. Israel. Can I be heard, or did they mute me?
Yeah, you've been heard. I'll make sure they say your thumbs up. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
You heard.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless you. Thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. And it appears that we had quite a bit of learning what happens when you step against the temple and against Yahweh's word. But sometimes the fear of Yahweh is not in a man or a woman. You know, they curse Yahweh. They curse the temple day They disrespect the Sabbath day, and nothing happens. They just sit there, and okay, nothing happens. But later, Yahweh takes his time, builds up a case against you like a court case in court. Well, I guess you understood earlier what I meant about a syndrome, Napoleon syndrome. But there is a treatment for that. But there's no treatment for disobeying the word of Yahweh. What does it say in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3? 3 says, and every spirit that confesses not that Yahweh the Son has come in the flesh is not of Yahweh. This is the anti-Yahweh. Therefore you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Yeah, I think we can make testimony of that. We've seen it in the world. Well, we're here to help guide you through these dark times. As I said before, a bad teaching. Christianity, loud bump the gums contest for righteous learning, which we see quite often. We're welcome and thanking you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And as I said before, people ask, how can you get that much out of this one book? It comes from knowing Yahweh's word, connecting the books. We talk about your health. We talk about foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days. And we even add worldly life and compare it with Bible scriptures, because we are in this world. We see the scriptures as what Yahweh left for us. Well, we keep the Sabbath days. We do this because all you have knocked, this is information you came to seek, and you found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. As I said before, we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. It starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just send this big letter and you'll see some choices. One of the choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you may see menu. By clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms. Chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, give unto Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. I always remind everyone to remember that Yahweh loves that you're forgiver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures in the book of Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30 and also the book of Hebrews chapter 7 verse 8 and verse number 9. You'll find this is to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh live. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio stations, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Calendar will help keep you in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We have a live program. You'll find us the feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To use it, enter three words on the search line, Yahweh Radio Live. After click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses for the listening members to use. The first is tribe, that's spelled T-R-I-B-E-Y-H-D-H @gmail.com, to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is yhdhysrael@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We have a few numbers also to reach us. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Gadda. Just choose the program you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, as earlier said, we're also doing a normal broadcast. We're simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk. Pal Talk will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any on-the-table topics will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel writing shotgun. We'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, your elder will either block or restrict the misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. Well, remember, as I said before, trying to win that Bump the Gums contest is going to be a losing battle. You'll find that you'll miss all of Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto you. As you found out, on this program, we rehearse the Righteous Act to learn the words of Yahuwah. So at this particular time, we'll turn our program back over to our Seer Israel. But before we do, remember, when I said there was only one in our last conversation, don't think that it's the last sword fighter or anything like that. We are the continuing, I should say, combatants of Yahuwah's word. So keep your Bibles open. We have a lot to learn in this program. Pass our program back to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. They all ask me again, and we're going to get to the best part of the broadcast is when the monks come in and address this national audience, fine audience. And pay attention, because the mothers come to cut you out. And I don't know. Seems like something ain't working over here. I'm looking for the mothers, but some part of this thing ain't even working. Why not? What can I, if I touch it, it'll come on then. Oh, okay. Maybe I can touch it. Oh, okay. I see one thing is the little mouse trap is I'll start working on me. So I'm glad I can touch the stream and bring up the mother. Okay. I guess that's what I got to do right now because, The click of mouth ain't doing nothing. Didn't pick up nobody. All right. So now when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, we're going to bring the mothers in. One thing about it, we are serious about this business of Yahuwah. If you're serious about this business, you'll be by Yahuwah's business. You're going to be able to look right in the Bible and see what you're working with from the Bible. If you don't allow this Bible, if your mouth's talking, but it don't allow the Bible, we got to be up on a suspect. That's just the way it is. If I see it, the mother sees it, so I'm going to bring in Mother E, or me Mother Z, and bring in Mother Z first. And whatever she got to tell this national audience, I'm going to say, Mother Z, Tribe of Yahuwah Judah, Yahuwah beat you that seed right.
Yahuwah bless and keep this here. It's the royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah,
Yahuwah. Uh-huh.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. So, that must be. Got no pack audience there, Mother Z.
So just take your time. Whatever you need to tell them, whatever you heard or you want to add a little bit more to it, take your time and bring it out. You want to go out, come up?
I would just like to read for the national audience tonight, Psalms 124. It said, if it had not been the Yahweh who was on our side, now may Israel say, verse 2, if it had not been the Yahweh who was on our side, when men rose up against us, verse 3, then they had swallowed us up quickly. When the wrath was kindled against us, verse 4, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Verse 5. Then the true waters had gone over our soul. Verse 6. Blessed be the Yahweh who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped. Verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the nest. Our soul is escaped as birds out of the nest of the, for the fowl, the nest is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Yahweh who made the heaven and earth. I would just like to say, you know, the only help we got is in Yahweh. And like this chapter said, if it had not been for Yahweh who came down and paid the price for our sins, we would not be here. And we need to, you know, get back to this Bible and learn the Torah instruction and learn what it is that he told us to do and start doing it because, you know, we need Yahweh and we cannot make it without him. And without him, we can do nothing. And I would just like to say hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. Hallelujah, Yahweh. That was excellent, Moses. I see that my little daddy, and I use my finger to make the same work. Excellent on your part. And my battery ran out already. I don't know. Whereas the touch the screen and bring up Mother E. And we know she probably, most likely she got plenty to say to this national audience. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, what about boys you say, Mother E, tribe of Yada Judah? Yahweh bid you, I see you right.
Yahweh bless you still, Israel. I see you right. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Mother E. I mean, well, I'm feeling pretty good on my end. I know you're ready to tell this national audience something, so take your time and get in that microphone and let's see what you got to tell them. The world is listening and come out.
Okay. I'm going to read John chapter 15, starting at verse 18 to 26. And it reads, the world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I, Yahweh the Son, have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Verse 20. Remember the words that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Yahweh. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I, Yahweh the Son, had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hated me hate my Father also, Yahweh the Son. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and had both me and my Father. 25. But this comes to pass that the world might be fulfilled, the word may be fulfilled that is written in that Torah instruction by the Torah instruction. They hated me without a cause. Verse 26. But when I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. I'm going to read John 7, verse 7. John chapter 7, verse 7, read. John chapter 7, verse 7. It says, John chapter 7, verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testified of it that the world there are evil. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. The world is evil. You know why the world is? You got two types of people in the world. You got covenant keepers and non-covenant keepers. Those that don't keep the covenant, you got nothing to check you. So when you ain't got nothing to check you, what you going to do anything? So when that spirit is gone, you got to make a judgment according to this book. You got covenant keepers and non-covenant keepers. That's the two peoples in this world. One keeping the covenant, you will know them from the pages of the book. The one that's not keeping the covenant, you will know them from the pages of the book. And then you got to make your decision from the pages of the book. Then you line up with your mighty one. All right. Sing around and signify Mother D of Israel. We know she probably have plenty to say. And one thing about it, she don't hold back and we're saying something. That's a good thing. So when you meet the Mosiah of Kev 1 and when you meet three of them, you got serious. So we'll see what Mother D of Israel got to say. Mother D of Israel, tribe of Yada Judah. Yahqua Israel, see right.
Yahqua, bless you, see Israel. Love, see royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I had my little saying in, and well, you want to tell this national audience in that we read whatever I had to say, you know. I stand behind everything I don't say, so we know one thing. I know you a straight shooter, too. So what you got to tell us on national audience on tape 20, you on the clock, come on.
Well, I want to read Ecclesiastes, no, Sirach, chapter 19, and verses, I was looking for something else to go with, but I can't find it. Anyway, it's chapter 19, verses 18. I'm going to start at verse 18. The fear of Yahweh is the first step to be accepted of him. And wisdom obtains his love. 19. The knowledge of the Torah instruction of Yahweh is the teaching of life. And they that do things that please him shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality. Verses 20. The fear of Yahweh is all wisdom, and in all wisdom is the performance of the Torah instruction, the covenant, and the knowledge of his potency. I can't pronounce that word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we are to fear Yahweh and not man. And I wanted to, I keep on losing them. Maybe I'm not supposed to bring it up. I don't know. We cannot lean onto our own understanding. We have to lean on what Yahweh says and what's written. Everything has been written already, so that's how you find stuff when it's written. You can't say you own nothing because you don't own nothing when it's already written. We are supposed to be Berean, you know, search out to see if things are true. So, therefore, you can't say that you own nothing because you don't when it's already there. So I want to thank Yahweh for his wisdom and his knowledge that he gave us. The voices of the true Israelites of the sixth anointed count. And we praise Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
That's exactly what we do. And when we make a decision, it'll be based upon thus says Yahweh. And mm-hmm. That's how we operate. If Yahweh got on the table and we find out one thing, if you say you one thing and lines in the book, we'll tell you right on. But when we see everything, your talk is not like your walk, and we can read your talk not like your walk, we have to make adjustment according to what the Bible's saying. Because if you're not keeping the covenant, you something to say or do anything. So nobody will be astonished at no one that he's a covenant keeper. That covenant will check them, and they will restrain themselves. But when you're not a covenant keeper, you'll get off on a rage mode because it's what's going to check you? Yahweh is not going to deal with you. So, and Satan's going to always tell you, you ain't going fast enough. Well, I'm going to, this car go 160 miles an hour. I'm doing 145. Even though with you, might as well do a little bit more. That's how Satan operates. He said, how low can you go? All the way to the floor. So that's how he operates. So we got to understand that. If you're not a covenant keeper, you something to say or do anything. And that's written. So we're going to take a look at a little bit of that, Mother Eve. Take a little look at that and see what Yahweh got written behind what he's saying. So he'll let you roll. In the regular book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse number, let's think of verse 9, down to verse 13. See, he'll let you wrong. He'll let you just wrong. He'll let you wrong. You can go ahead and wrong. Let's see what he got written in his Bible. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Chapter 8. And we'll pick up at verse number Now, 9 down to verse 13. And the closing statement. 9 to 13, the closing statement of that mother, Mother Eve. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 9 to 13, come on. Well, yes, there, Mother Eve. What's going on at WCC, Mother Eve? We have the Mother Eve. Let's find out what's going on. Let's see what we're working with. Let's try it again. Mother Eve, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 9 through 13. You're on the clock. Start over again. Come on.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 9 to 13. Okay. Verse 9. All this have I seen and applied in my mind unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. Verse 10. And so I saw the wickedness, the wicked burden, who had come and gone from the place of the righteous, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the mind of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear Yahweh, which fear before him. Verse 13. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before Yahweh.
Is it? So he goes, sometimes you watch why a wicked act. Oh, man, that wicked act. So, well, don't worry. Yahweh says sometimes he let the wicked go around some. But he leaves doing for the repentance. He says, because he don't get you today, he'll get you tomorrow. Anytime you are violated against Yahweh's covenant, if he don't get you today, he say, I'm going to get you tomorrow. That's what he just said. He might get you ready. He might still see him skinning and grinning and doing all type of things. But he just told you, because I don't get you right away, I'm going to get you. Let's precept that to Matthew chapter 18. Now, look at the guy in that way. Well, see, we got to mute Mother D of Israel. How about that? Well, it's your radio station. You do what you want, man. You want to mute the mothers? If your radio station, you do what you want to do. Mother D of Israel will catch your winds tonight. You got a M-U-T-E on you from the big station out of New York. You can mute. Matthew 18, Mother E. Let's look at three honorable things to say. We got to take it on in now, Mother E. We know you can work it in. The fox tail had been lit, the curtain air went up. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 down to verse 10. Come on.
The book of Matthew and said, truly, verily, truly I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receive me. Verse 6, for whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believes in me. It were better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck, and that he were drawn in the depth of the sea, thrown in the depth of the sea. Verse 7, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Wherefore, if they have, if their hand or their foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or lame rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Verse 9, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their ministering spirits do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm. What's that mean? That mean when you're doing Yahweh's will, don't worry about it. You just make sure you're doing Yahweh's will. They're taking notes on all the evildoers, the backbiters, the murmurs, and the complainers. And he going to collect. He might not get you a day, but if you are being one of the little ones that's trying to do dust as Yahweh, he going to get you tomorrow. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Verse 42 down to verse 50. And we'll see if we take that on in. Mark chapter 9, verse 42 down to verse 50. So it's up to you. See, anybody is striving to keep the Torah instruction, wearing their fringes and keeping them Sabbath days and doing what some dust says Yahweh, and you got a problem with them, hey, Yahweh gonna take that. We reading it now. This is what he's saying. Mark chapter 9, 42 down to verse 50. Mother E, come on.
The book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 42 to 50. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. 43. Thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. 44. Whether thou worms thy not, and the fire is not quenched. 45. And if thou foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having truth to be cast into hell and to defy that never shall be quenched. 46. Where their worms die not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better to be for thee to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. 48. Where their worms die not and the fire is not quenched. 49. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt.
Mm-hmm. But,
salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, wherewith will you season it?
Let's get a case in point on that. Let's run through the second book of Maccabees, chapter 3. And we look at verse 1 and 2. Let's go to second Maccabees, chapter 3, 1 and 2. Let's get a case in point on that. So he's letting you know, if you got a brother and sister trying to do this Torah instruction and look for them wicked days and be sending class to hear some dust and Yahuwah, and you come with a disturbance on some dust and Yahuwah, Yahuwah says, I don't get you today. He said, I'll get you tomorrow. I'm going to give a case in point in 2 Maccabees 3, verse 1 and 2. Let's get a case in point. Let's get a case in point. 2 Maccabees 3, 1 and 2. And for time's sake, we'll skip down to verse 23.
Okay, 2 Maccabees chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 and 23.
Get down to 23. Mm-hmm.
Now when the righteous city was inhabited and the lowliness was kept very well because of the goodness of Onias, the high priest, and his mind of weakness, verse 2. It comes to pass that even the king themselves did honor the place and magnified the temple with their
That's good. That's Onias. He said now he's peaceful, the high priest, he got everything in order. He said, and the world understood that everything's going real good. But if for time's sake, skip down to verse 23, let's read a bit. But see now, then all of a sudden wickedness came stumbling to the door. The wickedness came in. We'll skip that part for time's sake. And let's see what happened when you're doing Yahuwah's will. When you're doing Yahuwah's will, then all of a sudden, you know you're doing right, then wickedness just coming in from nowhere. Let's see what he got written in verse 23. Let's read a little bit. 2 Maccabees 3, 23. Let's read a little bit and see what happens.
2 Maccabees chapter 3, verse 23. Nevertheless, Harlagos, is that right?
His name is Heliodorus.
Nevertheless, Heliodorus executed that which was deceived.
Heliodorus. Now all that good peace was going on, but Heliodorus came with deceit in his head. Now everything is going good. Here come a Heliodorus. Now he got some deceit going on. What happened next?
Verse 24. Now as he was there, present himself with his guards about the treasures, the Yahuwah of spirit and the priest, prince of all power, caused a great presumption to come in with him was astonished at the power of Yahuwah and fainted.
Okay, hold that point right there. Now look what he's saying. He said, now everything was going good, and here come a wicked man trying to disturb the peace. And then Yahuwah activates them great big missile spears down there on the wicked man called Heliodorus. So now he over there trying to do some deceit, and the seer trying to do things right, And Yahweh told them, big mess of spirit, go on down there. And what happened in verse 26?
26. Moreover, two other young men appeared before him, notable in this sense, excellent in beauty and commonly in appearance, who stood by him on either side and saw him continually and gave
yep.
him
and scored him. And he scored, and the two big men of spirit, they came down nice and peacefully, and they stood next to him on both sides, and they scored him real good. Go ahead.
Continually, and gave him many sore spirits.
Strokes. He gave it, and oh, why they start body bagging him. They start banging him up. And the two big men of spirit caught the wicked man trying to go behind the seal's back. So they caught him, stood beside him, and started getting him some body blows on him. Go ahead.
27. And Heliodorus fell suddenly onto the ground and was compassed with great darkness. But they that were with him took him up and put him into a little. 26. Thus him that later came with a great train and with all his guard unto thee, said, treasure.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you say? He said this man, Heliodorus, came with his whole bunch of people came with him. I mean, Heliodorus talking that smack. Yeah, about a whole lot of people bagging him up, talking that smack. Everybody was talking smack. Heliodorus was talking smack. And all of a sudden, Yahweh, boom, he went down. And what happened next?
They carried out being unable to help himself with his weapons and manifest that they acknowledged the power of Yahweh. 29. For he by the hand of Yahweh cast down and lay speechless without all hope of life. Verse 30. But they praised the Yahweh that had miracles honorable his own place for the temple, which is a little of fear and trouble, when the Almighty Yahweh appeared with filled with joy and gladness. Verse 31. Then straightway certain of
So look what we're reading so far. This man came, Heliodorus came with a great big old company of men. And they come to lay hands on the seer. They came to lay hands on him, beat him down. I come to lay hands on you. That's how they were talking.